Project Podcast.
K-State Nation, what's going on? Eddie Greer hosts the Purple Project Podcast. This is not the daily edition, or it is, but a longer version of the daily. This is part two of our prediction slash preview show here on the Purple Project Podcast, where I talk K-State Athletics, folks. Kansas State Athletics. Those of you new to the podcast, appreciate y'all for downloading this podcast and listening to the Pro Project Podcast. Folks, we're pretty much less than 24 hours away from K-State Stanford on Saturday on FS1 here, folks. And before I bring on Alex here real quick, you've listened to the Pro Project Podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, whether that's Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and more, of course, Amazon as well, the Pro Project Podcast. Now, I finally got my co-host back on the line for whatever reason, but in and out. Alex Aiden, my co-host for the Pro Project Podcast, lives out there in San Diego. I'm here in Manhattan. Alex, what's happening?
I took
the gamble and went Texas. We took Texas.
Yep. You did. You went Texas. You had them actually beating Iowa State. I had them losing to Iowa State. I had them beating TCU. You had them losing to TCU, just for anyone who might have missed part of that. So we'll round it out today. You'll get our final projections on the schedule and the prediction.
Yep, that is correct, folks. And if you have not checked out the prediction show yet, we survive. We advise you, Cap fans everywhere, to go back and download and listen to that as well. And of course, following the game on Saturday, of course, it won't be right after the game, but there's so much college football. Great matchups up and down left this weekend. We will be recording Saturday night post Stanford talk. So, the episode, the post game, we'll get it up. I'll get it out hopefully on Sunday, so it'll be out to your hands right away. So definitely, you're not gonna get it. You're gonna get a lot of me, myself, and Alex here throughout the rest of the week, of course. And we're gonna bump our weekly shows to two times a week as well. I've said that on numerous accounts here lately on the podcast as well. So football cranking out this weekend with K-State getting ready to take on Stanford here in less than, well, when this podcast comes out, it will be less than 24 hours away from kickoff. We're recording this episode on September 1st. Alex, it's already September and fall's in the air. And at least here in Kansas, before we dive in here to K-State and Stanford, the temps here did not cross 90 for the first time in quite a while. So definitely fall is in the air. I don't know how it is out there in good old San Diego, but fall is definitely starting to creep on in.
Well, you know, Eddie, today it was 79 where I'm at. And so I'm a little bit, not that anyone cares, but I'm about probably six-ish miles from the beach. So out of the water, it's cooler here because in San Diego there's so many different weather patterns. Out of the water, like right there on the coast, it's pretty much a high of 75, a low of 70, or a high of 72, and a low of 68. It doesn't really fluctuate a lot, generally, on average. Now, that can change with weather systems that come in, but generally that's what it's like on the coast. I'm a little bit more inland, but I'm still relatively close to the coast, so here, usually, about this time of the year, it's upper 70s. Like I said, I got up to 79 today, I think it's 75 tomorrow, so fine here. And then if you go inland, into like the valley area, that's where it'll get hotter. It'll get your 80s, your 90s, and if you go into the mountains, it's going to be well over 100 this time of the year. So I will say this though, it has been pretty hot. Last week, it got up to at my place, it got up to about 88, which 88 degrees this close to the coast, that's pretty darn hot. That was a big heat wave. And so, look, this next weekend, it's going to be a low 80. So, hey, fall has not gotten the memo yet, but I've mentioned this before on the show. And once again, no one cares, but that's fine. the summer out here in San Diego is later than what you get out there in the Midwest, there in Kansas. And the heat really comes more in August through October rather than June through August. You know, when it's June, it's still kind of a little cool here in June. And then in July, it's absolutely gorgeous. It's probably the best month of the year here. And then in August, it starts to get pretty hot, and it really stays hot through October. But this year's been a little different. It's been pretty hot. It was really hot actually in July, Eddie. It got into the 90s in July, so it's been pretty hot. But once again, not that anyone cares. Fall is around the corner. It's already September, as Eddie said. That's what he was getting to. We're not doing a weather report from San Diego, California. So yes, fall in September. It's crazy, but you know what? Football's here, so let's do it. Let's do it. You know, I wish the year would slow down a little bit, but I'm really happy football's here, so I am ready. I am ready for it.
We are ready to lock and load a Purple Project Podcast Weekly Edition times 2. This is episode 62 of the podcast. Eddie Greer out saying this is the Stanford Preview Edition of Triple P, and let's get right on down to it. Okay, so we're going to start off with the defensive side of the ball here. And obviously, I had it up here. Okay, got it. So, all right. So, K-State, obviously, we talked about it kind of sparingly on the podcast. They're going to have depth really last night, actually, with the two deep depth charts that came out on Monday. The defensive front, they could rotate as many as 12 players along the defensive line for K-State. That is going to be huge. And obviously, you're working out first game shooters as well. So we talked about that, those players last night on the podcast. If you have not checked it out, please, I encourage you to do that. As well, the defensive front led by Eli Huggins, Khalid Duke, and those guys up there, and obviously Fletcher and Green, Daniel Green, Cody Fletcher, will be setting the tone at linebacker, and you can't lose one of those guys. You can't really afford losing any of one of those guys. That includes throwing in Wayne Jones at that position, and then you got big-time experience in the secondary led by super senior Jerron McPherson as well, and kind of something that we kind of missed. We missed, but not really. But K-State over the summer, spring/summer, brought in 4 transfer defensive backs. So they are loaded on the back end with the secondary and on the defensive front. So that's big on part of that as well. And they play a team, obviously, that loves to run the football. And returns their leading rusher, who led the Pac-12 in touchdowns with 9. That is Austin Jones, Junior Austin Jones. From there, and like we kind of mentioned a little bit on last night's show, they still haven't announced a starter at the quarterback position, whether that's Jack West or Tanner McKee. We'll find that out right off the gun on Saturday morning there. So, kind of, Alex, what are you looking for from this defense here? Obviously, I did listen to, I didn't get through it all, but I did listen to the questions podcast by the Powercat Game Day crew. So, they talked about setting the tone on the line of scrimmage. I think that, and that's what I've been thinking about pretty much for part of the day today. K-State, from both sides, really. You have experience on the offensive line, led by Noah Johnson. You have experience on defensive front there, like the guys I just mentioned, and then some. So I believe you have to control this game from the line of scrimmage. And you probably would agree with me 100% on that. What are your thoughts on this K-State defense? We talked about it earlier this summer, and now the game is here. What are your thoughts about this K-State defense taking on this kind of, you know, bounce attack by Stanford?
First, if you nail it with the line of scrimmage, games are won and lost in the line of scrimmage. I mean, they really are. And when you're playing a team like Stanford, who is a pretty physical team. You know, they're a pretty physical team in the past under David Shaw. And, that has been kind of part of their identity. And so there's no doubt that that's going to be a big part of the game. But I wanted to know a little bit more kind of about the Stanford team. So I was listening to, I'm trying to remember what K-State media member it was. But they were interviewing a Pac-12 analyst, and he was kind of breaking down Stanford and some kind of what's going on there, kind of what they're thinking. So I can get a little better gauge and idea of Stanford, because I'll be 100% honest, I'm not exactly, you know, going into the offseason, I wasn't exactly sure what Stanford's team was supposed to look like. Offensively, you mentioned it with Austin Jones. He was a really good player for Stanford last year, who really, by the way, finished strong last year as well. But he carried in there, and they had a really short season, so they played 6 games, the Pac-12, I believe it was 6 games that they played. So in those games, he rushed for 550 yards. So, I mean, he got 9 touchdowns. Think about that. You're in like 6 games, you got 9 touchdowns. That's what, a touchdown and a half a game on average? That's not too shabby, Eddie. That's not too shabby. So, there's no doubt that when you've got a guy who's also, by the way, at 156 yards receiving, I think he averaged like 7 yards a carry, 7 yards a reception. If you do the math right, 21-156. That's a good back, Eddie. That's a good back that you're gonna have to find a way to slow down. And so right off the bat, you mentioned it. K-State's defensive line. Can they hold their own if a running back is pounding at them and an offensive line is pounding at them? Can they slow them down? Can they not let Stanford take control of that game? Because Stanford is capable of doing that with their offensive line and with Austin Jones. So I think that you were right there. It starts with K-State defensive line and what they can do. But, you know, the Stanford offense is a very detailed offense, and it's really been a detailed offense for a really long time, thinking back to when Christian McCaffrey was there, thinking back to when Andrew Luck was there, when these guys were there. This has always been a very detailed, detailed offense. It's run a very specific way under David Shaw. And look, you're going to have your 6'4 to 6'6, 200-plus pound pocket passer quarterback. You know, you're going to have your running back who's a little bit of Swiss Army knife and can kind of do it all. And then you're going to have guys that can just make plays around the edges. And it was interesting. This Pac-12 analyst, Eddie, said Elijah Higgins, the wide receiver for Stanford, is going to be one of the top 3 receivers that K-State faces all season long.
Yep.
What he said. He said he is going to be one of the top three guys K-State faces all season long. He's one of those guys that they're going to remember all season long. And the first thought that popped in my head was that receiver with Arkansas State.
That's just what I was going to go to. Yep. That's this
guy tore K-State up in that first game. Went three touchdowns, damn near 200 yards receiving. It was a bloodbath in the secondary. And so I just had flashbacks of that moment, and I thought, oh, man, I could see that happening. But you know what? I've got confidence that in that secondary. You mentioned it, and we've talked about it some. A lot of transfers. They've kind of retooled that secondary. That secondary, I think, is the strength of this defense. And you've got guys like Julius Brents back there. You've got guys like Russ East back there. We already know we got the super senior and Drum McPherson back there in the secondary. Eko Boydeau has showed his work and really showed that. And look, they got good backups with Denson and Gardner. And so they've got guys and they've got depth. And so I think that they can slow Elijah Higgins down, Bryson Tremaine down, that receiving core down. But it's not going to be an easy task because Stanford's got quarterbacks, and you mentioned them both. Both of those guys, Jack West, Tanner McKee, which I think you're going to see both of them personally. That's just my guess. They have named a guy. I'm going to guess, once again, it's going to be like Arkansas State. You're going to see two QBs playing. Same thing happened against Arkansas State. Stanford's going to be trying to figure it out, I think. Who do we want to go with? Which guy do we trust more? One of them is a really high, a five-star recruit, but he's really young. The other is like a senior, but he hasn't played a lot. So who knows what will happen there. But I think you'll see both of them. They're both big. They're both strong. They both got big arms. You got a running back that can really gash you. You've got a receiver that's an NFL caliber receiver. So, look, there's weapons, Eddie. There are weapons, really, in all aspects of this offense for Stanford. So, from a defensive standpoint, it starts with the line. You mentioned it. Slowing down Austin Jones and making Stanford beat you through the air with one of those quarterbacks. And you know what? That secondary, they're going to have to find a way to slow those receivers down. They're going to have to find a way to slow Elijah Higgins down and not let him have a career day. Like, in case they let the Arkansas State receiver, I'm blanking on his name now, but they let the Arkansas State receiver just gash him. You can't let that happen. So you want to force him to pass. You want to win that one line of scrimmage. Slow that run game down, but you've got to be solid on that back end too. And that also gets back to getting pressure on the quarterback. We talked about that. You don't have Wyatt Hubert there to, can Khalid Duke step up? Can they get pressure on the QB? That's a big question mark. We don't really know. But this is going to be a first good test for them because they've got QBs with big arms, receivers that can do damage and can play at the next level. So Stanford can beat you in a lot of different ways, but K-State just needs to play disciplined on the defensive side of the ball. And I'll just finish it with this talking defense, Eddie. We talked about this a couple months ago on the podcast where there were some Big 12 coaches that were anonymously asked about different teams, and a lot of them about K-State talked about, K-State's offense, that looks good, Skyler, Deuce, this and that.
Yep, uh-huh.
We're not worried about the K-State defense. They said the K-State defense is predictable, that they're vanilla, that, they need to get more creative. So K-State needs to do exactly what these coaches are saying. They need to be creative on the defensive end. They can't be predictable. You can't let Stanford know what you're going to do on a defensive set. You have got to mix things up. You've got to keep them on the toes. And I know people will hate it when I reference the Chiefs, but Steve Spagnuolo, that's one of the great things. One of the things he's best at with the Chiefs. The Chiefs don't have the best defense in the NFL, but the reason that they're a top half defense is because Spags is so good at mixing things up, confusing the offense, and the offense doesn't know what's happening. They don't know, oh man, are the Chiefs going to blitz their linebackers? Are they going to blitz a third safety? Are they just going to rush four? Wait, are they going to drop back in coverage? Like, Steve Spagnuolo is great at that, and that's part of why the reason why the Chiefs defense is a top half defense in the NFL is strictly because of that. It's not because of talent. K-State needs to do that. K-State needs to keep offenses on their toes, not knowing what K-State's going to throw at them. They're really confusing them like that, Eddie. So I think this is going to be a good test for them right off the bat.
Number one.
From the number one college town in the Big 12. We're back with the Purple Project Podcast with Eddie Greer.
That receiver that you're talking about, Alex, was Jonathan Adams. Caught three touchdown passes, including the game winner, with less than 45 seconds remaining there. The 35-31 upset of K-State a year ago. And there's not a knock on Arkansas State, but Stanford is up a couple notches, in my opinion, than Arkansas State is. But, you know, that was last year, and now you're going down to Jerry World and playing a Power 5 team in Stanford. So, yeah, that's going to be a test for that secondary. But that secondary, led by Jerron McPherson, Boyd Doe, you got Julius Brents back there. So, I'm excited to see Julius Brents back in the secondary as well.
And yeah, I mentioned it. He's going to play football on Sundays. That dude has the look of an NFL partner. He really does. He's big. He's fast. He's physical. He's experienced. You can't ask for much more.
Yep. So Stanford offensively, total offense was third last year behind UCLA and Oregon. Just to keep that in mind on their end. But back to the K-State side of things. Now flipping it over to the offense side, obviously, Skylar Thompson back under center. That is huge for K-State, obviously. Deuce Vaughn looks bigger than he did last year, stronger. He's set for a big-time year. Obviously, RB1 back, but K-State has Jarvin back from the sabbatical also, and who knows if we're going to see Jarkia right on the field on Saturday or not. The receivers, they were talented last year. Like I hyped up last year, they have a good core coming back this year. Obviously, Sebastian Taylor, like you said, last night out is going to be on a little bit of pitch count. Malik knows, can he build on that momentum? We have harped on him throughout the spring and summer. It's put up time or shut up time. Number four. Landry Weber's got a lot of hype, and I agree with one of the guys on that podcast, the Power Cat podcast there with Fitz. They do a tremendous job there. I agree with one of them said that Landry Weber's got to prove himself, and I definitely agree there as well. It's put up time to shut up for these receivers. Obviously, I've heard a lot about RJ Garcia and the Hutchinson transfer as well.
Yes.
Tyrone Howell as well. He's on a 2-deep for K-State as well. So they're loaded. And we haven't mentioned the fullbacks. They got a lot of returning guys. And we've been all over this for the last few weeks on the podcast. The offense is the strength. And Alex, you just said it a few minutes ago. I mean, K-State's offense, if Courtney Messingham dice up the right stuff and puts guys where they're supposed to be. I know, sorry, K-State fans. I know we keep just banging, just hitting this over the wall time and time again. But it's true. It's critical for Messingham to put these guys in the right spots and make plays. It all starts with him. And sorry, I cut you off there for a minute.
No,
just to finish my point. Yeah, you got a tremendous offensive line, one of the probably top four offensive lines in the conference, led by a super senior, Noah Johnson. So it's time. It's time. This is your third go round, Courtney Messingham. It's time to let the dogs out and let it eat. Let it eat on the offensive side of the ball. Alex has said it over and over, put Deuce in the right spots. And with Skylar Thompson back under center and an improved, hyped up Will Howard back there, we're going to also see two quarterbacks for K-State as well. So, Alex, your thoughts on this K-State offense, the strength of this team, going up against this Stanford defense that's pretty tough to move the ball on as well.
Yeah, and you know, I will give Courtney Messingham the I will put a little bit of confidence in him to put guys in the right position. Let's see what happens with him and his new role with the receivers, and him vowing to really get more creative on the offensive side of the ball. The first minute that I see the same old Courtney Messingham, I will probably take those words back. But
run up the middle, first down, run up the middle.
run up the middle first down, run up the middle second down, third long, play and complete. I don't even know. But if they just offensively last year, you kind of got to kind of look. You can't make chicken soup out of chicken bleep, Betty. You know, I mean, and no offense to K-State's offense last year, but it wasn't chicken soup. And by the end of the year, it just wasn't. So that was tough. Look, that was a tough situation for Courtney Messingham. There was, they were getting no production at all from the receiver position, and you were playing a true freshman quarterback. I get it. But K-State's just, they're going to have to be better from the play calling standpoint offensively, in my opinion. They're going to, I said it defensively, and I think the same thing applies offensively. You're going to need to be more creative. You're going to need to be more creative in your play calling. Now, that doesn't mean to be stupid in your play calling. There's a difference. There's a difference between being creative and being stupid. Like, you need to, be a little more creative. And like you said, finding ways to get Deuce the ball. Finding ways to get Malik Knowles the ball. Finding ways to get Amita Baby the ball. Getting the ball into your playmakers' hands and letting them eat. And letting that offensive line do their job and establish that run game. So, I think that's really, really important. I want to go back to the receivers real quick. You touched on it. Tyron Howell, I think he's got a bright future with K-State. I think he's a guy that you're going to see get some snaps in the right. Landry Weber, I had a feeling, as I mentioned on the podcast yesterday, that he was going to get, the starting nod there, but I don't know how long that leash is. I know that they love what he did in spring ball. I know that they have really high expectations.
Spring ball.
I think he'll come out and have a good year. But the thing with K-State that I think that they have going for them this year that they didn't last year is they've got a lot more depth at the receiver position. We've talked about Malik Knowles. We've talked about Landry Weber. We've talked about Tyron Howell, the transfer. You got Phillip Brooks. You got Phillip Brooks coming back. You've got Kate Warner, who's transferred in from Nebraska, Kurt Warner's son. You've got Sebastian Taylor. He's going to be on a pitch count, but eventually he will build himself back up. And he did show flashes at times last year in that depleted receiving court. And you've got Keenan Garber, who got a lot of meaningful snaps last year. So there's no doubt in my mind, Eddie, that K-State's got more depth at the receiver position. And I think that's good. That's a good thing for K-State, because if there's a guy that falters, if Landry Weber can't step up, if Malik Knowles does get hurt, if things like that happen, K-State's got other guys that can come in. And they've got a quarterback in there who's a sixth-year guy. And I think that he can make it work, really with any of these receivers that are in the game. So I think that K-State's in a much better position from that standpoint than Amita Bebe at tight end, along with guys like Nick Leonard and Sammy Wheeler. You've got some depth at tight end, too. You've got three tight ends that I trust in the game at any given point. So, and hell, look at fullback, same thing there. If you're looking at fullback, Jack Sinead, Mason Varga, Christian Moore, I trust any of those three in the game as well. So I just think there's some more depth on this offense as a whole. And you mentioned the 2QB system. We're probably going to see some of the new and improved Will Howard in there. So I don't think it will be Will Howard taking all series or anything like that, but I think that there will be certain packages for Will Howard when he comes in the game, and I'm perfectly fine with that. What I don't like with the 2QBs is when you just don't have a starter, and you just have, like, what K-State had with Jake Waters and Daniel Sams. Like, okay, Jake, you take one series. Okay, now it's time for Daniel Sams to take a series. Okay, well, now it's time for Jake Waters to take a series. Like, that never works. You need a starter. K-State knows who their guy is. It's Skyler. Will Howard is your changeup. He's your guy that can come in there, give him a different look. So I think that can help K-State as well. But here's what they need to do. Stanford, they struggled last year at the middle level. They struggled at that linebacker level. Those linebackers were depleted with injuries. Now, Stanford's healthy again. And one of those linebackers is actually a super senior as well, Jordan Fox.
Yep.
So, if I'm K-State, I'm attacking those linebackers. They were atrocious at linebacker position last year. And yes, they're healthy. They've got him back. And they're optimistic in those guys. But if I'm K-State, I try to approach them at middle level. You know, see if you can get Deuce. Deuce loose there. in the middle of the field. See if you can establish the run. And, like I said, that front seven was really banged up, too. And they struggled in the front seven, too. So we talked about K-State not letting Stanford establish a run. I think K-State needs to establish a run. I think this is a game where you see a lot of Deuce Vaughn, more Deuce Vaughn than maybe some other games that I think are on the schedule. Because I threw out yesterday a couple games where I thought could be more games tailored to the receivers in case they're having a shootout. One of them I mentioned was Nevada. I could see Nevada as a game where you maybe see Malik Knowles having a big game, or potentially a guy like Landry Weber having a big game, or one of those K-State tight ends having a big game. But in this game, this Stanford game, I feel like this is a Skylar Thompson Deuce Vaughn game. I really do. I really feel like, can K-State establish the run? Can Skylar get his rhythm back? Can K-State let Deuce exploit what were really some of the weaknesses on that defense? Granted, they're healthy now. They're going to be improved there. But can you still exploit those areas? And so I'm not saying that K-State's not going to throw the ball, because they obviously will throw the ball, but I really think this game on the offensive side is going to really come down to Skylar and Deuce. And I'm not worried about how Skylar's going to look in his first game back. I'm confident Skylar's going to look fine, but how's Skylar going to command that offense? You know, how's he going to take charge of it? How's he going to, operate and make sure that the linemen have got the right protections? You know, making sure that everybody's on the same page. Doing those types of things, controlling things. So, but I look for K-State to try to attack those first and second levels. And if K-State can do that successfully, then maybe that opens up some bigger things over the top that you could hit on. Another guy is Phillip Brooks. I just mentioned it. See if you can get him. See if you can get him out in open space, too. You know, there's a good chance that Stanford's going to be keying in on Deuce Vaughn. You mentioned him. He looks bigger, looks more physical. But Stanford's going to be probably throwing a lot at Deuce. So if you're Skylar, take what you can get. Take what they give you. You've got playmakers around you. You don't need to force the ball to one guy. You know, run some things to get Phillip Brooks some easy looks. Let him use his speed. You know, get him outside the numbers. Same with the other weapons that you've got on that offense. So, get some other running backs involved. Get Joe Irvin involved. Get Joe K.D. Wright involved if he's part of the three-headed running back. I think he's the third guy. But like you mentioned, it's only a two deep depth chart. But get those other running backs involved. So, I think this is going to be a Deuce Vaughn game. I do, but get other guys' touches, because we learned this last year. If you just try to force feed Deuce Vaughn, it's not going to work. It doesn't work. It's too predictable. You've got to get other people the ball. You've got to take what's open, and if you do that, then it will open things up for Deuce, and Deuce can establish that run, and he can exploit that defensive line and those linebackers. So I think that's going to be a big part of the game.
You're listening to the Purple Project Podcast.
Stanford preview continues. Eddie Greer, Alex Aiden for the Purple Project Podcast Weekly Times 2, episode 62. Here as we wind it down here on the podcast, of course. And then after a reminder, folks, We will be doing a post game this year, like we did last year. It will be getting together. We'll be working that out on for Saturday night, and then we'll be getting the post game pod up on Sunday morning at some point. So there's that plan there as well. Now turn to before I get to our X factors and then finally our prediction to wrap this thing up. Stanford, Alex just mentioned the fact that they struggle. Stanford, ninth in the conference last year in total yards a game there, giving up almost 450 yards a game there. Over 210 in 3 years, 222 yards on the ground given by this defense last year. Only two interceptions, five fumble recoveries by this defense, 63 tackles a game. That's a team total there. And he had nine sacks. So that's kind of a that's kind of some opportunities there for K-State. There for Deuce Vaughn, for Skylar Thompson. Again, Skylar Thompson, that first hit is going to be something K-State fans will all keep an eye on here, whether it's a possible run or dropping back the pass. That's going to be something to keep our eyes on throughout the game. Of course, Will Howard will see Will Howard, obviously, in this game, depending on the situation as well. So that's something to look at as well. X factor here, Alex kind of named off a couple already, but my X factor, one on offense, one on defense here, and this is going to be a collective group right here. I'm looking at the offensive line as the X factor in this game. Noah Johnson, Josh Rivas, just to name a few on that offensive line, they have to come out and establish themselves right off the bat. We have said this over and over on this podcast, especially the last few weeks. This is a table setter for the season, and I look for this Connor Riley led offense of line to really establish themselves. They got experience last year without no spring ball, no summer practice due to the pandemic. You've had an entire year, and now you've had that additional practice that you need to get yourself better each day. I look for the offensive line to really establish themselves here and make a statement. Make a statement to the country that you're improved. Not that there already are, but that you are one of the best offensive lines in the Big 12. I know it's early, but still, it'll be a good table setter for that group. And on defensive side, I kind of already talked about them. Well, not actually. I'm actually going to change that. One of my X factors on the defensive side of the ball, I'm going to go with Timmy Horn. I want to see what he can do. Graduate transfer, obviously. I think a couple of K-State media members have kind of talked about this already. From what I've heard, Timmy Horn could be a game wrecker on that defensive line. If that is true, and I'm not saying that it is, I haven't seen him play yet. We'll be seeing him on Saturday. But if he is that what they say they are, he is. That's gonna be trouble for the Stanford offensive line. So I look for Timmy Horn to make his K-State debut a big one. So I know that's kind of left field a little bit, but I went different there than just the rest of the
world. I like it. Go left field.
So I don't know if Alex, you want to add on to one of your X factors or your let me put it this way: what's your X factor on offense and defense?
Yeah, well, first I quickly want to mention, when you mentioned about Skyler and him getting that first hit, I'm really glad you brought that up, because on K-State, I want Skyler to get hit early. Get the hit out of the way. You know, he could be, I'm not saying Skyler will be in his head, but you hear quarterbacks all the time that have been injured say that first hit, it gets them going. It knocks the cobwebs off, any fear that they have of getting hurt, it gets them in the zone. And so if I'm K-State, I run. I do a design QB run on one of those first plays just to let him get hit. Let him get hit. let him get it out of the system and get his head in the game and let's go. So that's what I do if I were K-State in that position. But getting to the X factors, you're right. Offensively, there's a lot of different guys. You brought up a great one with the offensive line because I really do think that that's going to be a huge part of this game is how K-State can do on the offensive line. And I obviously mentioned to you as well that this is going to – I feel like this is going to be a Deuce Vaughn game because I just feel like the ingredients are there for it if K-State can take their part. But like I said, Stanford's going to be throwing a lot at Deuce as well. So while I feel like it can be a Deuce game, they're going to be throwing a lot at Deuce, and I think that guys making life easier for Deuce and Skylar is going to be critical in this game. So while I very well could go with the offensive line, while I very well could go with Deuce because I think they're both very deserving, I am going to go with somebody else. I'm going to say I'll do a two-parter here, Eddie. Like I'm going to say either Joe Irvin or Phillip Brooks. And what I mean by that is if Joe Irvin, if he can get in and he can be the change of pace back, that can make it all work. That can make it all work. That can really get Stanford on their toes. And if K-State can get Joe Irvin going a little bit, and then they can get Deuce going a little bit, and then you can get some looks where they're both on the field, and Stanford can't defend both of them. It can create some issues for him. And like I said, it can kind of loosen things up for K-State. It can make K-State a little more unpredictable offensively. And I throw Phillip Brooks in there as well because it's the same type of deal. You know, Malik Knowles is going to be getting a lot of attention. Deuce Vaughn's going to be getting a lot of attention. You know, probably going to be a lot of guys in the box to try to stop Skylar as well. I would assume that would mean that there's probably going to be some open space for Phillip Brooks. So if Skylar can get him the ball, then I think he can really make him. We see what Phillip Brooks can do in open space. And so if he's getting one-on-one looks and he can burn his guy, he can beat his guy, then I think he could be prone to have a big day. So I'll say one of those two as my X factor just because – someone's going to need to loosen things up. So I'm going to take a shot, say one of those guys. But ultimately, moral of that story, Eddie, is that someone else is going to have to step outside those two. No offense to Blake Knowles, but I don't feel like this is going to be the game he does it. I already mentioned it. I see Nevada. I kind of feel like Nevada is going to be Malik's game, his potential coming out party, looking ahead a couple weeks. But defensively, you know, I think that part of me wants to go Khalid Duke because I feel like you've got to get pressure on the passer. You've got to find who is going to be the one to get pressure on the passer. This is Khalid Duke's time. This is his time to step up and do it. You don't want to let Stanford gash you with quarterbacks, big arms, and receivers who can just burn you, burn anyone. They're going to be playing at the next level. So that feels like it's important, but I don't know, Eddie. Part of me wants to pick somebody in that secondary because you've got to have a back end that's going to lock those guys down too. So I'm torn, but I'm going to go with Khalid Duke, and I'm just going to go with Khalid Duke because Casey, someone's got to step up. Someone has got to fill the shoes of Wyatt Hubert. Someone's got to do it. I'm not saying they don't have to be Wyatt Hubert, but if K-State can't get pressure on the quarterback, this is going to be a long game. It's going to be a long season. They're going to need guys to get pressure on the quarterback. We talked about Khalid Duke last year, Eddie. He underperformed. He did. He had his moments. He had his flashes. Oklahoma could block him in the fourth quarter of that game against in Norman. They couldn't block him. He was beating them every single play. It was amazing. He's got that in him. But we didn't see it enough last year. He needs to step up. He needs to step up and take his game to the next level and live up to the expectations that we held for him last year because K-State needs it. They need it now because they don't have Wiley, Hubert on that defensive line. You know, so Khalid Duke, show me something. Go out there, ball out, Show me something. Show us that you can be that guy and that was in there in the fourth quarter of Oklahoma, just wrecking havoc on that Sooners offensive line.
All right, so we both picked someone from the defensive line there, and on the offense, Phillip Brooks there in Jordan. I like that. All right, finally, folks, prediction time here. So we've already mentioned predicted the rest of the games, and now finally, the one that begins to count. Saturday, when this podcast comes out, it'll be tomorrow morning, 11 a.m. kickoff, Jerry World, big time game for K-State, Stanford. Obviously, Alex has K-State at 7-4. Alex, who are you going to pick to win this game on Saturday morning on FS1, national televised game, an important opener for K-State in this game? Who do you have?
Big game, Eddie. This is a big, big game. I mentioned it yesterday in the podcast. You heard it probably at least 10 times. Me say table, it's a table setter. But you know what? That's what it is, Eddie. Man, people are getting so sick of me. These first six games are so hard. They are so hard for K-State. It is very realistic that they can have a losing record after those first six games. That's not going to be good for anyone. That's not going to be good for the players, coaches, the fans, no one. You want to avoid that. A great way to avoid that is to get a win against Stanford, get a lot of momentum, get yourself on the right track. Because K-State's got a tough non-con. They should be Southern Illinois in game two, but we mentioned it yesterday. That's not going to be a gimme game. There's still going to be a game that K-State's going to have to show up. They're going to have to play. Because that's a top 10 team in the FCS. It's a team that's beaten North Dakota State last year. And they're not just going to be, they come to Bill Snyder Family Stadium, you beat them 51-0, and you give them their money for coming and leave. That's not how that's going to go. That game's going to be more difficult than that. I think K-State will win it comfortably, but it's not a gimme. And then we talked about Nevada. Nevada's going to be a really, really difficult game there, week three, and then obviously going to Big 12 play those first three games. This gets arguably the top three teams in the Big 12. So you need this game. You need this game against Stanford. And I think K-State knows that. I think they know how important this game is. And let's not forget it. K-State's on a five-game losing streak coming into this game. They have not won a game since they beat KU in Manhattan. So they have not won a football game in a very long time, Eddie. It has been a long time since K-State has seen a win, a lot longer than Stanford. So I think with Skylar coming back, with K-State hungry to snap that losing streak, with K-State understanding, like, damn, we need this game. And also with the fact that you're down at Jerry World and you're going to have your fans in that building. I think Gene Taylor said he's expecting over 30,000 K-State fans down there. You have over 30,000 K-State fans in there in that building. It's going to get you going. That's going to get you juiced. I think K-State's going to come out with a little too much juice. I think you're going to see some jitters. I think you may see some, you know, a quick three and out. Maybe you see a couple drop balls, some butterfingers early. Maybe you see Skylar overthrow a guy or two. I think the juices will be pumping. I really do. But once K-State can calm that down, I think it's a relatively favorable matchup for K-State. Stanford's going to be tough. Stanford has been disrespected, in my opinion, this offseason. Vegas has like a 3.5 this year for their win total, which is just a complete slap in the face to Stanford, a team that wins every single year and a team that won last year. And they got a lot of guys coming back. So I don't understand why. Maybe it's the quarterback situation, but like I mentioned, you got really a couple pretty good options there at QB. So ignore the Vegas line. That Stanford team is going to be a good Stanford team. It's a good football team. And they're receiving votes to be ranked, and rightfully so. So it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. And they're going to come ready to go. But I do think it's a favorable matchup for K-State. I think once they settle in, they find a way to win a close game. I'm giving K-State to win, Eddie, 31-24. It's going to be a touchdown game. I think K-State's winning most of the game, if not maybe wire to wire, but I think Stanford keeps it within within reach the entire game. I think it stays around a one-possession game pretty much the entire game. Maybe K-State gets it to possession. Maybe Stanford swings it and ties it up. But I think K-State's winning a majority of that game. They find a way to get the 7-point win, 31-24, which puts K-State at 8-4 and 5-4 in Big 12 play in the 2021 season.
All right, yeah. I agree what you said there. I'm going to get right down to play. I think K-State needs this win. And I agree with all what you said there with the first game, opening game jitters and everything else. But I think after all that, I think they're going to settle down and they need to play K-State football like we are accustomed to. And that's a long time. And that's going all the way back to October, the last time K-State has won a game. Yeah, I'll go right to the point. K-State needs this game. They need it for the fan base. They need it for the campus. They need it for the fans. And Gene Taylor saying, 30,000 plus, K-State strong, Purple Nation, stand up, K-State, represent. K-State wins this game. it's going to be a knockout, dragout game, in my opinion as well. We agree on that. 24-13, have it. K-State winning this game. I think K-State turns it up in the second half of this game. For some reason, K-State is a second half team. And I believe it's going to be close early. Defense is going to stand up. But I think K-State will rise to the challenge and finally get over that hump in the second half. That's also something to look out for as well. They need to make big plays and not give up game-changing plays. That's one of the things that I took out of that podcast is K-State gave up too many big-time plays to change the game. You can't do that, especially this game here. They need to be the team that turns the game around. I think they can get it done. K-State wins the opener, and hopefully we're going to be chatting K-State dub on Saturday night. Hey, real quick.
Not Eddie. It might be a depressing pod because they got some tough games after that one. But I sure hope that we're chatting about a win. Like I said, it's a very important game for them because if you lose that game, that as great as a win would make people feel, that's how bad I think a loss would make people feel here. Because the last time K-State won a game was before Stanford even started their football season last year. Like, K-State didn't even win a football game over the span of Stanford's entire season last year. That's been that long since K-State has won a football game. K-State fans are not used to that. They're used to winning. They're used to winning post-Bill Snyder post. So, they're not used to that. So, if you lose, I think all this excitement and optimism there you're seeing around town right now and around the K-State base, and I think all of that it's just like you pop a big balloon and it's going to come coming right on out. So it's huge. It's huge for them. Like I said, it sets a tone for Nevada. It sets a tone for Oak State, Iowa State, Oklahoma. All those games are late. You got to get wins early where you can. So K-State, you've got your opportunity. You've got your shot. You've got the stage. Go get it. Go get the game.
Yep, you got to go get this one. So that is that. That moves my record to 9-3. This season could go two different ways, so definitely we'll see, like we talked about last night, we'll see what happens on Saturday when this podcast comes out. It'll be tomorrow, obviously, 61, episode 62, Thursday, Friday, live K-State content coming from the Purple Project Podcast, weekly duo, Eddie Greer, Alex Aiden, and of course, let's not forget about volleyball, obviously, they're playing their tournament out there, out west in California. 3 games in 2 days out there. So I'll be keeping tabs on that. Soccer will be in action as well. They're rolling right now. So there is that as well. Well, folks, K-State Nation, we're going to put a pin on this, folks. This has been the Stanford Preview here on the Purple Project Podcast Daily Edition. We will talk to you on the post game of Stanford's Alex. Final thoughts for basically, I'm close, I basically, you can close this out.
Hey, Eddie, I just hope we get a win. Let's get a win. Fans, there's still tickets. Go pack Jerry World. Go pack it with purple. Let's go get a win. Let's start this season off right. And as Gene Taylor said earlier this week, it's a good year. Have a great year. So let's have a great year.
Let's have a great season, folks. K-State football is upon us. Go Cats! We will talk to you on the next edition of the Purple Project Podcast. Episode 2 is in the books. Let's go get Stanford. We out.
Are found on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Audio Boom, and more. We'll talk to you on the next edition of the Purple Project Podcast.